Did you like it being upside down? Just a little bit? Now, let me tell you about doing it upside down. We have holy folders that come on a Thursday to stuff our bulletins. But the day before, we have the one who runs the pieces of paper. It's wrong! Something happened! Get it right! I need to go get somebody. We need to turn this right. Did they not realize what they did? In other words, the sermon began on Wednesday. It began with that little rustle. Well, actually, even before that. How do we exactly get it to turn upside down, keeping the other things up? Oh my goodness, that must be something about today's gospel. Upside down, turning upside down. It even starts really before the gospel. It starts, well, it starts way back when. But we won't get started just on that yet. Let's go into the story. This is the time of year of angels. Now, many people understand angels from a number of times in their lives. But if we get this common sense of hearing stories about angels, this is the time of year. And in short few chapters of both Matthew and Luke, these beginning days of understanding the coming of Jesus Christ, why, no better way to announce it than through angels. Various writers throughout time have tried to enter us into that holiness or that startling feeling of being in the presence of an angel who has a message to give. There are many ways we may interpret God's messages into our lives. We may not see, feel, or hear angels. There may be some that are certain that one arrived at just the right moment for them. But angels in this story, open your mind and your heart, because if nothing else, know that it can turn things around for you. It can flip things up and down. It can turn things in and out. I decided that it probably would not be a good idea to try to wear my robe inside out or upside down. Just couldn't figure out the safety pins that might have to hold it over my shoulders and have arms dragging on the floor. But you can see that when something turns upside down, we're looking at whatever the something is from a different angle. Let's hear some of this early story. We'll go pretty quickly because hopefully you'll know that we have angels by artists of old. We have angels by artists new. Maybe, just maybe, a time or two in your life, you have drawn an angel on a piece of paper. If not, even if you're 110 years old, you might take out a piece of paper this afternoon and just do that. Just for fun. Well, one of these angels that shows up pretty early in the Gospel of Luke is the angel Gabriel. In fact, Gabriel shows up a few times. The first time is with Zechariah, and with just a few pictures, I'll catch you up to that story, because the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth is worth a whole morning together to enjoy the fun of it. But imagine, if you will, an old priest that lived sometime just a few years before Jesus was born. And this Zechariah, this old priest, on a very special day of being called into the temple, he was the one chosen to go all the way into the behind the curtains, Holy of Holies. It was a special day. But what happened there? Imagine yourself actually coming into worship and having something happen. So many times don't we come to worship and we don't really expect anything to happen. Oh, nice music, David and Delee, appreciate that. You know, nice greeting at the door. But to have something hit our heart and soul that turns it just a little bit upside down? Are we ready for it? Should we have seatbelts on the pews? Should we give you a crash helmet? Something that would anticipate that God's on the move. Well, Zechariah was not prepared for it, but indeed that is what happens. In fact, he's so shocked that when this angel comes, Gabriel comes, and he makes this announcement. He says, "I am Gabriel who stands in the God's presence, and I have been sent to speak to you, to bring to you this good news." Well, this old man didn't know what good news would be in his age. It was certainly not what he ever expected. This old man did not expect to hear from Angel Gabriel that he and his old people, were going to have a baby. They were going to have a baby just like Isaiah was born just a couple of days ago. This little thing into these family where they were not 21 years old and they were not 25 years old. They were a whole lot older. And even in my young age, younger than they, the thought of having a little baby every day, 24 hours a day and night, is just amazing. But indeed, they had a little child. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, and during this time, won't go into all the details of the story, but the child was born. And when the child was named, it wasn't named Zechariah like everybody was expecting. Oh no, it was named just as the angel had told them. John. This is the story of John the Baptist coming into this world. His cousin of Jesus, a family connection, but Angel Gabriel, he had something else to do. Now, set the scene just a moment in your mind. We're going to go kind of backwards, and then we're going to get back to where we were. Are you with me? You know, TV shows do that all the time. They'll do a little line that says, and meanwhile, or before this, or they'll state a date. Well, in the mix of all this story, Angel Gabriel, after he left Zechariah, just 3 months later, he went and he talked to a girl named Mary. One thing that is so much fun and inspiring to do is sometimes look up some of the great art pieces that have depicted Mary and the coming of this angel. It's called the Annunciation. It's called, you can put almost anything in there about angel and Mary and the announcement. You have a couple of modern day looks at what Mary and the angel would look like. You can tell the angel with the wings and the spirit in the form of the dove. You can see Mary with lilies at her feet and musical instrument as she is listening to the angel. Another modern look at it is a Japanese look. This one, Mary is busy at work. It looks like she's a student. She's doing her work at the table, and the angel comes. Or the one that takes you back into a much older picture where the mystery of just the presence and a form coming in light. Imagine for yourselves how this announcement comes. It's a beautiful announcement that comes, but also quite shocking. Walt Wangren is a Lutheran pastor, scholar, professor, and writer. And for just a moment, this is the way he will tell it. What he says in his book when he tells the story is he says, you who are older, you who may have children or grandchildren, you who have any contact as a teacher to a child, you tell the story. And when you tell the story of the angel coming to Mary, tell it with spirit. Tell it with all your being. Tell it as if you were there. And then he starts telling the story. He adds a few little details for fun so that you get into the spirit of storytelling. And he says, God up in heaven, Gabriel, I have something for you to do. And Gabriel, oh my goodness, angels being called upon to go say something to humans? Man, that hasn't happened for 400 years. What's God got on his mind now after all this time? Yes, God, what do you want me to do? Gabriel, I need you to go down to this young woman. You'll find her, and he tells, and you'll find her there. And I want you to tell her that she's going to have a baby. Oh, oh, Angel Gabriel thought being able to tell somebody they're going to have a baby. Now, remember, Gabriel, remember, angels' voices, they are big. And if you speak normally, you might frighten this girl. So be careful. And so off Gabriel goes. And Gabriel goes into this little town, and he finds this woman. But he's so excited about what he's going to tell her that he says, "Hail, O favored one!" And God whispers from heaven, "Gabriel, talk softer. You've made her afraid. Fear not." And on the story goes. What he tries to tell you is be in the story. Be in this story as we go through this season, this wonderful. The next 48 hours are going to be awesome. The next 72, it's going to be the story again. Live it in your own heart. So Mary finds out, and the first place she goes is to her cousin, the one we just mentioned that found out from Gabriel, and it silenced Zechariah until the baby was born, but there's two pregnant women. There's so much a story I want to tell you about a little mishap that happened when I was pregnant with our older son, where they thought that I was the 92-year-old that was going to get a pregnancy test. But just a little mix-up in the ER, but every time I think about that moment when I was in my 20s and that mix-up happened, and I think the meeting of one old who is great with child and the one whose face is young and a little bit frightened, who also is great with child. And so the two meet. We could detour here for a moment to just say how important it is that we're there for one another. How important it is, I think, that we're not just satisfied with knowing people just who are our age, our age group, or anything that all the short people getting together, or all the white people getting together, or all the poor people getting together. There's something about mixing that up. Oh, yeah, it's like something like turning things upside down a bit. So these two meet. Elizabeth comforts and encourages Mary. The baby inside Elizabeth jumps for joy because this baby's coming. The angel Gabriel is not done yet. For the angel Gabriel comes again to Joseph. And this time, Joseph, the one who is engaged to Mary, who didn't think that Mary was going to be pregnant before they were married. Well, I mean, you know, because they do know how those things go. And so here she is pregnant. And is he really going to believe the story that she told him? I cannot believe he's going to believe the story. Oh, no, it's going to take something really big to make him believe that story. And so it is. Gabriel comes. Now, as we go through this, catch something for just a moment. There's a running theme. An old lady gets pregnant. Isn't that a surprise? A young woman is pregnant, but not by Joseph. Isn't that a surprise? Joseph should just ditch her quietly rather than having her stoned to death, which he could legally. And then the Gabriel changes his mind. Do you get the feeling that those moments that are not expected happen? Do they happen for you in your life? Something that you think you have all planned out from beginning to end, and then whoosh, the wind blows a different direction. And there you are with having your life just a little bit startled. Maybe your heart sadly startled. Maybe whatever has made you realize. Well, in fact, the Bible is full of those. We're going to look real quickly at this God who may keep us guessing, who kept Joseph guessing, who kept Mary guessing, who kept Zechariah and Elizabeth guessing. This God who works in our lives that sometimes keeps us guessing. Think about it. The little guy up against the tough guy. The surprise that one who is vulnerable is the one that can take on a challenge. The one that you least expected. Well, like that God would go to Moses way back in the Old Testament, and he would say to Moses, who stutters and is not not comfortable talking to people, and that he has a brother who is an eloquent orator. But God chooses Moses to face off the powerful dictator of tyranny and abuse to people that are underneath him. Pharaoh, who is here, and the slaves who are here, and Moses sent to speak to the great Pharaoh. Why, it's a surprise. Or what about the armies that could not win over the great giant Goliath? But this little kid who tries the armor first until he's weighted so much that he almost falls to the ground, takes off the armor and takes what he's used to, 5 stones, slingshot. The little guy beats the giant. Or what about when they wanted to choose a king, and they'd already had Saul, who was going a little bit crazy, and so they needed to choose another king, and Samuel the prophet went and helped them know which one God was picking, and went to this family. Surely it was going to be the oldest son, the strong son, or the next son, or the next son, or the next son. No, it was the puny little guy, the one that was out in the field that was still trying to learn his ways. The smallest one chosen to be king of Israel. Or what about an 8-year-old King Josiah later on in the history of Israel, who was the one who inspired a national revival? 8 years old. Let's go clean up the temple, finding the book of God and inspiring a revival with the people of Israel. Or what about the time when Jesus wanted the disciples to feed the 5,000, but they had no food? That was a little boy. He had his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Well, no, he really had 5 loaves and 2 fish, but he was willing to share, and you know how the day goes. Or what about the scripture that we've already read, that this great day of Christ comes, and think about it. He turns it upside down. He says, there's going to be a little child that leads people. There's going to be that wonder and okayness that a child could play with a lion or a beast or animals that don't usually get along. Oh, that we could turn our world upside down, and those of us who don't get along learn how to get along. Now, real quick this. One illustration that David thought would be a little dangerous, but you can imagine for a moment. Imagine a lunch paper bag, small, not really heavy, no handles. And so you put in the bottom of it several raw eggs. You know, thinking about those folks on the bottom that don't have very much to protect them. All right, toss in a cup of flour. Have the eggs made it so far? Toss in 2 cups of sugar. Let's make this a sweet pound cake. Really sweet. Toss in 1 pound of butter. Toss in, let's just go ahead and toss in the blender. What would happen to those eggs on the bottom? Well, that's why David wouldn't let me do it, because it would drip on the floor. The point being that sometime we can't even see those in need. And the ones in need can't even hear the voice of someone who might help. But when God comes, when he talks to us, he says this: maybe you're the little guy. You're the one who thinks, I don't have anything to offer. You're the one who thinks, I don't have a great voice to offer. I don't have a great army to, I'm just me. When God was giving out talents, he gave them all to that guy. Or he gave them all to that girl. Not me. But God says, I can turn you upside down to help you realize you are part of my story. You are part of paying attention to the little ones. You are part of making this world turn right around until it is right. He will bring the high down from their thrones. He will bring the lowly up to be fed. And maybe one day, we'll really be on the same plane together. May your life be turned upside down this week in the very best ways of Christ. Amen.